Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets show for the month, and here to take your calls is Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland, New York. Dr. Ciculli is the founder of the clinic, which provides specialized care for felines, a graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine. She's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. She also started Scruff, a volunteer nonprofit organization dedicated to the needs of feral and stray cat colonies. Dr. Ciculli grew up on a farm in rural Albany raising sheep and calves. She now lives in Guilderland with two extremely well-cared-for cats. Dr. Ciculli, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Hi. Thank you, Ray.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also get to us in various ways. You can post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Now, if you are responding in that way and not on the phone, try to provide as much information as you can on your pet, including their age and their sex. If submitting a question online, that really is helpful because we can't ask follow-ups. But the calling is a great idea on these call-in shows. 800-348-2551. All right, Dr. Ciculli, let's get this out of the way right now. Cats, obviously, much smarter than dogs, yes?
Absolutely.
You see, we
a superior species.
We agree on that. And if you're going to call to complain, well, wait till the next month to call. We'll talk about dogs then. Tell me about Scruff.
Scruff was a program I started almost 7 to 8 years ago because I had a rabid cat in the clinic that I realized the feral cats and the stray cats in the neighborhood were not being taken care of. So every month we do a trap, neuter, return program where we spay and neuter cats, and I get volunteers, about 5 or 6 veterinarians. Carrie O'Loughlin, who you had on last month.
Ah, Carrie,
yeah,
yes.
She's wonderful. She joins us.
Tell me about, there's some controversy about that. And why is there a controversy about this policy, this program?
The TNR program definitely is controversial. Some people say we should just be eliminating them by killing them. I obviously disagree with that. But there are concerns from the Audubon Society and other organizations that, you know, these cats are out there in the wild. We shouldn't be supporting
them. How do they get there?
They're from usually people that own cats and do not spay or neuter them and then let them be outside, and then they continue to multiply.
And percentage-wise of domesticated cats, how many are not getting fixed?
I don't know if I know that off the top of my head, but there's probably a good 40% of the cats that are out there.
That needs to be improved, eh?
It does, and I think what we're trying as a community is addressing it both with the humane societies and the rescue groups that we all are trying to focus on this.
So you went to veterinary school and you knew how to handle dogs and animals in general, but why the focus on cats?
I just found I liked working with them better. I relate to them. Some of my clients call me the cat whisperer, but I just enjoy their intuitive nature and their sometimes an aloofness to them that dogs don't always have. But
yeah, they're not so in your face.
They're not so in your face.
I am with you on that. And you mentioned when we were speaking earlier about a holistic approach to cat health, and frankly, it's a wide open palette for me. I have no idea what that means.
Well, what I'm starting to realize in my practice, and more so with cats because you can't always medicate them easily, mm-hmm. is to address their medical needs, both dietarily and maybe supplements, those kind of things, rather than medicine.
Well, we have a full bank of calls already. Dr. Susan Ciculli is our guest of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland. And to the phones we go, 800-348-2551. Liza, with a Z, in Albany. You're up.
Hi. I'm calling from Albany, as I said. And I have a, I think, around 11-year-old Calico. I guess they're called Torties now. And we're planning a cross-country move in the near future. And I was wondering if you could give me some advice regarding the day of the actual flight. You know, what I'm concerned about having the cat survive this trip and be well.
Okay. Yeah. How does she travel right now when you do take her in the car?
She does not travel.
She's never traveled?
We ever take her is to the vet, and then we have a too small animal carrier. So I will be, you know, purchasing a cat carrier for her that is compatible, hopefully, with the various airlines. Can you recommend one?
Oh, so you're flying with her?
Yeah, we're going to California.
Oh, okay, I thought you were driving. I misunderstood the question. Okay.
Okay,
so you're flying. Yes. An 11-year-old, it's going to be a little tougher because she's going to be a little more stressed since she hasn't done this before. Mm-hmm. There are two options, I believe, with flying that you can either bring them in the plane with you underneath the seat, or she could be back in the safe baggage area. And I think it would depend for you on how vocal she is going to be during that flight. So if she, you know, tends to be one of those that is very vocal and screams all the time, then I think the luggage would be the better place for
her. Would you medicate the kitty cat?
It depends on the cat. You know, majority I say not to because they tend to fight the tranquilizer. But for that situation, you might need to.
Okay. And my vet would be able to help me with that.
Yes. Yeah. There's acepromazine is probably the one medication we use pretty consistently. And it doesn't completely sedate them, but it just, you know, gives them a little bit of a, takes the edge off.
You sprinkle that in the food?
There's two. You can either do a tablet form or actually you can use the injectable as an oral and you just apply it to the gums.
Ah, okay. Liza, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Renee in Campbell Falls, you're up.
Hi, it's Campbell Hall, actually.
Oh, Campbell Hall.
Yeah, over in Orange County.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Hi, doctor. I have a question of conventional medicine versus homeopathic, or not even versus, just which, what would be your recommendations? I adopted a kitten. She was 8 weeks old. She was perfectly healthy. She had her first round of shots. Feline rhinotracheitis or something like that, calcipana.
Yeah, that's our typical distemper vaccine. Yeah,
okay,
it has
so
Khaleesi virus, yes.
She had that, and then and she was having really bad diarrhea. So about two weeks later, I brought her to a different vet because the first vet was from the Humane Society where she was adopted from, and they gave her that first set of shots. So the second time I brought it to a vet was a different vet, and I had noticed that her mouth was kind of stinky, and he opened up her mouth and found out that her gums were all horribly inflamed, and he said that it was stomatitis, and he said that the only thing you can do for that is give them steroid shots every 1 to 3 months until it stops, which it usually does, but usually all the teeth fall out. Can you speak to stomatitis and then to nutritional needs of any kind of cat? Because now she's on a holistic homeopathic diet, and I just want to make sure I'm giving her the right stuff.
Okay.
Okay. That'll take the hour.
Sorry.
We have a break in about a minute and a half, so maybe we can get the Cliff Notes version.
No, that's fine. There are two forms of stomatitis that we now see in cats. One's called the juvenile stomatitis, which is what your kitty obviously has since she is under...
She is
under a year of age. And then there's the more severe stomatitis plasmacytic gingivitis that we see as an adult. The juvenile one, we believe, can be helped with antibiotics and cleanings, but may not need extractions depending on the age of the cat. I agree with you, addressing your or her overall health is really important. I really advocate a high protein, no meat byproduct diet, and I think that would be very helpful for you.
I'm grinding chicken and vegetables for her 50-50 every day.
And is she eating well?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yep. I think you're on the right track. Absolutely. I do like, and I will advocate if you find a veterinarian that you like, stay with one. I find it sometimes very difficult, as within the human medicine, if you switch around too many veterinarians, as with on the human side, you're going to get many opinions. So
that's a good
if you
point.
Advocate, sticking with one that you're comfortable with.
Renee, thanks a lot. We got to take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Dr. Susan Ciculli is our guest. She is the founder of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland. You're listening to Vox Pop on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting the exhibition Ogden Pleissner Watercolors and Oil Paintings now through June 1st, arkellmuseum.org. East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts. Offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com for information. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. Specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts. A college prep boarding and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a 5-week summer session. EHS1.org for info.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC Pets and Vets today. Dr. Susan Ciculli is here, and back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Mark in Salem, you're next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I had a sudden death of a cat a couple of weeks back. She was a spayed female. All my cats have been strays, and her mother had the kittens in the barn, and this female was rather large in the sense that she had large bone structure and large, her tail was almost, the bone in the tail is like twice the size of a normal cat, and she was very broad across the chest. And she would only eat Purina cat chow and water. She would not take anything like canned food or anything like that. She was somewhat overweight, and I was trying to, monitor that. And just as a side, she used to come up to her dish, flop down on her side, pull the dish over with her paw, and then take out one or two pieces of food and put it in her mouth, and then get up, and she'd do that. It was very funny to watch her, people. And she was very social and everything. And about 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday night, I noticed that she was breathing from her stomach more than from her chest, and I went over and I have a stethoscope and I listened, and she didn't have any sound of any respiratory sound that I could hear, and she didn't seem to have any heartbeat was normal, but she would sitting up rather than lying on her side. And so the next morning, and then she started purring, so I couldn't tell what was going on. The next morning, it was the same sort of thing. So I called a veterinarian to make an appointment, and they said bring her in the next day. And the next day, I let her out for a little bit, and she was sitting in the sun, standing and sunning herself. And we picked her up and brought her in the house, getting ready to take her up to the veterinarian. I never put her in a box. She was always good about just riding in the car. And when I set her down, she took about 2 steps and just made a small irk sound and keeled right over on her side and was dead.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
Sort of a scientific mind, I'm trying to narrow down what she might have. Now, I have a friend or friends, you might know of them, Ron and Chris, up on Route 40 in Easton. They run an animal, not a shelter exactly, but they have 40 cats that they are that all have various problems, and they have a little clinic there where they have a veterinarian come in and do spaying and that. And she said that she thought it might be a dormant case of peritonitis that by picking her up, caused it. I thought it might be an embolism, or it might have been a stroke. I don't think it was a heart attack exactly, but I'm just curious as to what you might think that would cause a death so quickly. I mean, she was didn't seem to be in any pain. She was eating.
Yeah, okay. my typical, and I have a number of clients that will have a similar scenario of cat was fine. And my most common would be still a heart condition, based on what you're telling me. The trouble breathing, I would be a little concerned that she had started to develop some fluid in her, in and around her lungs, pleural
effusion. That's what
effusion.
I was listening yeah. for.
Well, you can't hear that.
Yeah.
That's fluid, and so to really, an X-ray probably would tell us the
she
most.
She wasn't panting. She was just breathing normally, but
right.
it was her stomach, and
yeah.
So it probably was a heart attack.
That would be my first thought, yes.
Well, Mark, sorry for your loss. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Susan Ciculli is our guest. Peggy in Esperance. Peggy, you're on.
Hi, I'm wondering if it's okay to feed your cat a good quality dry food only rather than just canned food or some of each.
Good question.
A friend said that my 2.5-year-old tabby, Charlie, is likely okay at his age, but that it's harder on the kidneys maybe, especially if they don't drink a lot of water. Because you have to refrigerate the canned food after a while, it's more of a pain, and it's harder for the pet sitter when I'm on vacation, so I've just been feeding him dry. He seems fine. Is it okay?
The recommendations now are that canned food is the best that you can feed your cats, as for the same reasons that you just gave. It has high moisture. It has typically a higher protein content, even though you'll see, the ones that are coming out with a high protein on the dry food and the way it is processed. So it's sort of, I equated it sort of like butter, how butter used to be good for you and then it wasn't good for you, now it's good for
yeah.
you again. That's what they're recommending for canned. It may take a little while because your cat is now used to mostly dry. So it's going to
yeah.
take a little bit to convert him.
How do you do that conversion?
What I typically do is continue to offer the canned food and keep decreasing the amount of dry that you're putting out.
So the cat won't starve itself.
Exactly. If you're offering just a small amount of the dry, then he'll start eating the canned.
Okay, I'll start mixing in the canned then.
Thank you so much.
Good
luck. Thanks,
Peggy. Bye-bye. And to Mary in Kingston we go. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm good. Well, I've got good news. Our family cat is 6 years old, and he's inside, outside, avid hunter. Two weeks and 3 days ago, he vanished, and then mysteriously was right there on the front porch last night. He is thrilled to be home, was starving, very sharp bones. I think it was good that he was a little overweight. I think he wound up trapped in someone's basement or shed with a dirt floor. He's very, very, very thin. Now, he's on just dry Purina. That's all I've ever given my cats. he's, like I said, he's 6 years old. We've had him since he was a baby. What can I do to bring his health back before I get him to his regular vet for a checkup?
Yeah, and that's the one thing I would recommend is make sure you bring him to your veterinarian, because underlying, was there a kidney concern that just got exacerbated by him being, limited on the amount of water that he had? So please bring him
yeah.
in. But in the interim, just, as you're doing, give him as much food as he will eat. And let him drink if you have to try some different varieties of food.
Okay. Well, he's
great.
Filled with fresh water.
Yeah. Yep. One thing I do mention, and something I'm advocating, is the microchipping. I don't know if people are familiar with that, but they they have a microchip. It depends on your veterinarian, but they do have microchips, and it's a permanent identification now. All of the shelters and all of the veterinarians now have scanners for it, so it's a nice way of saying, okay, I've got a little bit of insurance.
What information is on the microchip?
It has a coded number, and then that coded number is registered online.
Okay, and it doesn't. So. It's not a RF emitter. It's not a radio.
It is not.
And then how would you scan that?
The scanner. We all have scanners. Every veterinarian has a scanner. Every shelter has a scanner. Picks up that number, a specific ID number for that microchip, and then calls the company.
What happened to the old tags that you had around their neck?
They would lose them. They'd lose the collars.
I see. Okay. Well, Mary, good luck. I guess everything's going to work out.
Yes.
Well, he's thrilled to be home, and the kids are so happy that he's back. I was just wondering if there was anything other than, you know, just food and water.
And that TLC.
And, oh, yeah, well, he smells like baby shampoo right now because, he needed a bath so badly.
Nice.
But it's all good now.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you for your advice.
Thank you.
So I wonder, you know, do cats handle a shampoo very well? I've not heard of that very often.
They don't always like
bathing.
Although we have a number of clients that love
it's
to
funny.
Give their cats
cats
bath.
Really have their own individuality. I had a cat I grew up with, hated being in a car, and I know some cats don't mind it.
Don't mind it at all.
Really,
right.
Individuals. Gwen in Kinderhook. Gwen, you're on.
Well, speaking of having a cat in a car, my husband and I need to transport our two cats to Seattle because we're moving there. And our plan is to put them in a crate in the back of our van and transport them. My husband is really good at cross-country driving, and he says he can do it as fast, you know, as possible. And we just wondered, as I say, we're getting a large van, and we're planning to sort of introduce them to it over some time with short trips. But do you have other advice about doing that kind of transport? Because we really do have to get them out there.
It's about a 5-day drive. How long would that take?
He says 3, but I don't know.
Wow, he is fast. All right. Well, what do you think, Doc?
I think you're doing the right thing, getting a large crate with a litter box. For it, don't worry if they don't eat much. Don't be alarmed. That is something when they get stressed, they won't eat well.
Okay.
Don't worry about the water as much. I have it offered, but don't worry again. And that's where I do like the canned food, if they will eat it, because then that's got moisture in it.
Okay. One of them at least is very hesitant to eat any wet food. And she, in fact, is on a special renal diet that we've had to put her on because she had a very serious kidney infection a year ago, and I guess we're told we have to keep her on that forever. Is that true too?
I don't know that's an opinion I would have to give to your veterinarian.
See the cat,
without seeing the information ahead of it. But yeah, then for her, for sure, you'll have to watch the water consumption. And when you stop at night, you know, in the hotel, they'll be able to get a little more comfortable there.
Okay.
Well, good luck with the move.
Yeah, and call us back. Let us know how many tickets your husband got on the ride.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
Gwen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's Pets and Vets. Susan in Del Mar. Susan, you're on.
Hi. Dr. Zakuli, I just thought I might offer a little advice, actually, to one of your previous callers, Liza, concerning her question about transporting her cat in the cabin of the plane versus the luggage area of the plane?
Yes.
I have worked for several years in different airports. I'm not an airline employee, but I used to interact and socialize with the people that work for the airlines. And I can tell you, I've heard some really unhappy results from animals that have been transported in airline luggage compartments. Sometimes fatalities. There's a difference in the temperature as opposed to the cabin inside the plane. There's a difference in the pressure in the in the luggage area as opposed to the pressure inside the plane. And sometimes they're just stacked in there like they are a part of the luggage. And it's a very stressful experience for most animals to be put in luggage compartments.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, and at one point I know that Delta Airlines actually stopped transporting animals in the luggage areas because of so many fatalities. And it was actually more difficult to do so during the hotter months in the summer because they would die from the heat.
Yes. Well, so, you know what, I would hope that she would then be able to contact the airline that she's going to be using and make sure she, you know, asks all these types of questions that are important for
yeah, I just wanted
cats.
To pass that
yes,
along.
Thank you.
I'm no expert, but I just thought I'd share that.
Yep, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, too, Dr. Scooley.
Thanks.
Now, I wonder if you were to buy an extra seat, could you do that?
Well, no, you can put the cat under your seat.
But, I mean, I had a Siamese cat, very vocal. That would not have been pleasant for anyone on the plane.
That's my concern.
Yeah. All right, let's go over to Christine in Birmingham, Alabama. Really?
Really.
Wow. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. I have a question we're about to adopt a four-year-old cat from a family who has moved to an area that has too busy a road. He's an outdoor cat, and they're afraid he's not going to make it. He's miserably unhappy inside. We have the ideal situation. We have lots of land, and we've always had outdoor cats, and we're ready to have another one. My question is, when we get him, what's the best thing to do from the time we get him till we allow him to roam around outside to keep him from running off?
Okay. That's a good question. I like to keep him inside for at least a good month, so that they're very, very comfortable. And then maybe when you do let them outside, to have them on a harness so that you're definitely able to keep him, within supervision for a while.
Now, we have a screened-in back porch, so I assume I could let him stay out on the back porch to kind of get used to the looking outside and sort of feeling like he's outside.
That'd be perfect. And maybe, maybe that's the long-term solution rather than, if it's at risk of him being outside. You know, outside cats are great and they are very mentally healthy, but there are added risks of letting them roam. So it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones we've always had, we just had a little pet door and they came and went as they wanted in and out of the porch, and then came in the house at night. So I'm just afraid to let him out in the yard right away because I'm afraid, he's just moved from one place. Now he'll be moving to another place, and I don't want to upset him too much.
Absolutely. Yes, good luck with the move.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Linda in Albany. Linda, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Scooley. Dr. Scooley is my veterinarian of choice.
Uh-huh.
Cats is the best.
Okay.
There's nobody like her. And she's been treating one of my rescue kitties for mammary cancer. Unfortunately, it has metastasized, but I never even knew that cats could get a breast cancer. And, the necessity of spaying them, and if I think a lot of people don't know about it, and if doctor would like to talk about it, I think it would help a lot of other people.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
It is something we see. Hi, Linda. So
hi.
Sorry. breast cancer, mammary cancer in cats is, we believe, linked to cats that have been spayed later in life. So if they're spayed younger, then the hope would be that you would see less of it.
Scientific evidence or just anecdotal information?
Yes, scientifically, yes, hormonally response.
Okay, but are there studies to back that up, or is that just sort of in your experience?
No, the studies are there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
Just look online. You'll see they're there.
Yeah.
But the necessity of spaying them early, that really is important, I think.
Yes. Yep.
Well, thanks, Linda. We appreciate the call.
Well, thank you for having Dr. on.
Take care, Linda.
She's
bye-bye.
Been a very good guest thus far. Dr. Susan Scooley of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland is our guest. If you want to get in, one open line at the moment, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Back in a flash.
Support for WAMC comes from Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, New York, presenting In the Black, featuring a selection of black paintings, drawings, encaustics, and sculpture, now through April 13th, open daily, 11 to 5, carriehaddadgallery.com. Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more, paradisecopies.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, featuring houseplants, seeds, and starter kits, pruning and fruit tree maintenance tools, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., closed Sundays, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org.
And welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekulli is here on this Pets and Vets edition of the show, Robin in Woodstock. Hi, Robin.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm calling about my cat. I have two cats. I'm calling about the older cat who is 9 years old, and he's acting really crazy the past few months, like very mischievous and breaking things, knocking things off my table and dresser, waking me up at night, ripping the rug, you know, like doing things like that. And then I look at him and he kind of, you know, he kind of like snickers at me and and then he'll run away and like plays these bad little games. But it's getting to be like really annoying, like stealing food from people's plates, just really acting out. And I'm wondering if he's jealous of the younger cat I've had for 3 years and wants attention, or if he's not feeling well. I'm not sure.
Huh. That's a good question. I like that. Do they get along? Do they play, the two cats?
No, they don't.
Oh.
I mean, they don't fight all the time. They fight occasionally. They fight. The older cat did not like the new cat when I brought it home. And they did, and he did terrorize her for quite a while. They seem to get along a little bit better, but he does bully her a lot.
Yeah.
Chases her around, but he's really acting out lately.
And he's an indoor only kitty?
They both are
indoors. Okay. There's a study that they did watching different activities that cats out in the wild do. And probably 20% of their time they spend exploring, and then 20% they spend hunting.
Uh-huh.
And so,
yeah.
What we find, especially for these indoor cats, is we have to really address that exploring and the hunting portion. So I think in his little way, he may be saying to you, I need both. I'm a little bored. I'm in this house that I've known my whole life. So can you make it more interesting by putting new stuff up? You know, those cat trees are wonderful. And then maybe playing with him in different ways. So he may be trying to get your attention. And unfortunately, it's negative attention, like you see with kids.
Yeah.
And we know how that works.
But when I try to pay attention to him or pet him, he bites. He bites me. So I try to give him extra attention. I guess he needs more to play with, is what you're saying?
Yeah, yep. And maybe it's not a physical play of your hand or anything, but maybe, you know, on a string with a stick on a string or the feather kind, so that you can get his attention. And sometimes you have to separate the two cats because maybe he may not want to feel comfortable playing when that three-year-old is around.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right, Robin. Thank you very much for the call. Do cats get spring fever?
Yes,
I've seemed to notice that cats get that itch,
yep.
Right, whether they're indoor or outdoor cats,
absolutely.
They know it's time
to
get out there.
And the light, you know, the increased light like us.
And it's been such a cold and snowy winter.
It has been a tough winter.
Let's go to Chris in Sandgate, Vermont. Chris.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. You're on.
Thank you. My family adopted from a local shelter here. Teenage twin boys about 3-4 years ago. They've been altered. They're both real lover boys, but one of them started going on toots. He'd go for a week and come back, and we'd go for a couple weeks, on another toot, and he'd come back, and now he's just gone. He's gone feral, and we see him around. You know, we can get about 10 feet from him. You know, maybe he'll hide in the prickers or something like that, but I just want to know, is there any way we can get the dear lad back? Because he really was a lover boy. He was, you know, always rubbing and just a nice, fun guy.
You may have to get one of those have-a-heart traps to catch him if you physically can't get close enough, and then sort of bring him back into the house and try to acclimate him back to the house.
Can you rehab or re-educate a cat that has gone wild?
You can, absolutely. Yeah, you can work with him to...
Yeah, I do know people who have had them inhabit their barns, for instance, and get them in.
But it sort of sounds like he's been spooked or something changed his behavior. Is the interaction between the two cats okay?
He's just all over the place. We're you know, Sangay is a very small town, a very low population, a lot of trees, he can be, you know, a few acres away, and his brother really is quite a home buddy.
Okay.
They did when we first had them, they were indoor cats for at least a year. We didn't harness them, but we, you know, went out with them, you know, slowly, kept an eye on them, and they, you know, eventually learned to love being outside quite a bit, but.
Well, and maybe that's just what he would like. And as long as you're providing him with shelter and, you know, feeding him, maybe that's his comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah. We have a lot of grouse in the area, and I fear for them. Well, thank you very
you're
much.
You're welcome.
And it's always a pleasure to talk to Ray at WAMC's MVP.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Catherine and Troy. Catherine, you're up.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. You're good. You're nice to have you here.
Oh, yes, I'm very happy to be here.
You're on with Dr. Sekouli.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Catherine. Good.
So I have what I call my bottle-fed brat. I got him when he was 10 days old, and he unfortunately was separated from his mother and his sister who passed away, and now he has behavioral issues. And every time someone comes into the apartment or I bring him to my job, my vet, he always has to be sedated. And he's only 7 months old, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to ease the transition. I don't want to put him on medication necessarily, but he just gets really, really worked up every time I bring him to the vet now, and he has to be sedated. It's a big hassle.
Wow. Oh, that's a tough one. I think I'd go almost to the point of sort of that counter conditioning like they do with dogs with phobias, so that you start a very easy reaction, maybe just the carrier coming out, and then you put it away, and so that you're gradually introducing him before he shows any of that fear, because the aggression is really fear. You know, they come in from when they come into our clinic and they're aggressive, they're fearful. They're
Can cats be trained in that way? I mean, I joked earlier that cats are smarter than dogs, and I believe that, actually, but they don't do tricks. You can't train them like
cats do. Yeah, they do. But not consistently.
So that same sort of conditioning works on a cat as well?
Yep. But it's, again, trying to reach them before they get anxious. You know, what we do in our clinic is we let them come out of the carrier on their own. And it does take longer. So you're in for, you know, probably another year of trying to counter condition what he's now fearful of. Lavender works really good. We've been using some of essential oils, and those seem to be helpful. Even the Bach flowers, rescue remedy.
What does lavender do?
Lavender is a calmer. Now? Yeah. Oh. Yep. It's a sort of a natural.
Does it work on kids?
It does.
Really?
It does.
Well, note to self, lavender, eh? Catherine, thank you and good luck. Let's go to Sharon in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. Sharon.
Hi. Glad I could get you way up here in no man's land. In snow, we have enough snow. It's a halfway up my window, so I know what you're talking about when you're talking about snow.
Yeah. You can keep
but
that.
What I'm calling you about is I have had numerous experiences flying with pets. And actually, this has nothing to do with what I was originally calling you about, but I did buy a seat next to me on the airline for my Rottweiler.
Oh, really?
For your Rottweiler?
You bought a seat for your dog. Brilliant.
He was a 135-pound Rottweiler. And they, of course, had to meet him first, make sure he wasn't going to kill anybody. And the only other thing that they required was a soft muzzle. So with a soft muzzle, he could still eat and drink. And, you know, he had no problems with breathing or anything with a soft muzzle on. So, I mean, it's just a thought. If you really want your pet to fly with you, buy a seat.
That is so cool.
Thank you for calling in about that.
Well, you know, the kids on the plane and a lot of those people change their mind about Rottweilers after riding with one for 4 hours.
Right.
I love Rottweilers, yeah.
The other thing, the main reason I was calling was this same Rottweiler died on Saturday of lymphoma.
Oh.
And he has had for 4 years a cat that he rescued. And Henry is a 28-pound rescue cat who is a little overweight. Well, Henry was there when Junior died at home, our Rottweiler, and they were very close, always together. They went out the bathroom together, never had a litter box for this cat. Would go out with the dog, come in with the dog, eat with the dog, and I think he thinks he's a dog. My problem is now, Junior was on, my Rottweiler, a dry food called Halo, and it's good for dogs with lymphoma, with cancer. The only thing that Henry, his cat, is now eating is that Halo dry food.
Oh, boy.
And what I'm worried about is dogs with cancer can have, and I'm sure I'm telling you everything you already know, doctor, but they shouldn't have omega-6 fatties. It's all omega-3s in this dry food. Is this going to hurt the cat?
The bigger concern that we find with cats is it's just not enough protein. There tends to be a fair amount of other, you know, carbohydrates, et cetera, in the dog food. So
in this Halo, there's no carbohydrates.
No carbs. Oh, okay.
Whatsoever.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, it's strictly a cancer dry food.
Hmm.
And he drinks plenty of water because he has a running water fountain. You know how cats are. They like their water running at cold.
Yeah.
So he has a running water fountain, which he lays in and drinks in and does everything you shouldn't do in. But I was just worried because he's not getting the omega-6s. He's not getting these added things that he should be getting, and I didn't know if that was going to hurt him.
Right. Yeah, I think long-term, it's probably not a good idea. Short-term, I think it'll help him through the transition of the loss.
It will be expensive for specialized food all that time, too, right?
Yeah, this is a 40-pound bag is $75.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Maybe a transition is in order over time.
Yeah, well, I did get him to eat a little bit of tuna fish and some chicken, so maybe I can slowly transition him off of that, but in short term, you think that'll be all right?
Yeah, I think short term you're okay, long term you're not. So
I think he's just grieving.
Yes, absolutely. Cancer. And you must be too. So it must have been a great dog.
Yes, definitely. And plus, like my husband said, he's 28 pounds. He's not going to hurt him to lose a few pounds if he goes up.
I don't know if you're going to lose pounds on dry food, though. Hey, Sharon, what frequency are you listening on?
I was listening on my radio. It is, wait a minute, 90.3.
Wow, good FM. Signal. It's a good signal day today. Well, thank you very much for calling.
Hey, it's a miracle because I'm 2 miles from the Canadian border. So
nice.
Yeah, I get you guys really strong up there.
That's great.
Well,
thank
I hope
you.
The snow clears at some point by June anyway.
I'll forget it.
Thanks, Sharon. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Kate in Loch Sheldrake.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for all the good work you're doing. Great show.
Thanks.
I have a question. Animal lover, I live in a town within Sullivan County that claims for their animal lost or stray population of cats, they have no budget. And I found this out because a very good friend passed away, which she left two dogs, a couple of parrots, three cats, two of which were like 12 and 14 and were ill. And she had always promised, or made me promise, if she passed away, I'd take her animals. Well, I took them, but the older cats, I was trying to infuse them into my own home, and they were very ill. One of the first things I did was I had called the Sullivan Humane Society to tell them, ask them for help. And the gal actually said this to me, or I wouldn't say it over the radio. She said, I'm so sorry we can't help you with those cats. The best thing we suggest is that you open the door, put their food outside, and as soon as they go out to eat it, this is my friend's old house, close the door, which was, of course, not an answer. So anyway, I brought them home with me, infused them into my cats and dogs, and so that was okay. except for the town that I live in also seems to have an inordinate population of people dropping off, being irresponsible for their animals, what have you. I've had cats literally crawl up in through certain, like, hatches within my house, which is on a crawl space. One cat had kittens in the boots in my closet. And she was, I think, a feral cat because we had never seen her before, but she was just dopey dildos enough to trust us. And her animals, her kittens, ended up being then in my house and whatever, whatever. Well, here's the problem, and I think maybe you already know where I'm going with this. Being a really poor person myself, I can just make do to feed the animals that I have. So when other cats find their way to my front porch or what have you, I'm at odds. It's like feeding them vet care. Forget about it. Everything I have to do is like homeopathic.
Yeah. Okay, that's
home remedies, the best I can do. And I've been looking for, we do have a low spay-neuter thing called Tara here in Sullivan County. It's $70 per animal. However, that's prohibitive when you're broke like I am.
Okay.
You know, good.
One more thing, I'll finish my question. When I called the town again to say, is there any help, they said, listen, if you open the door or feed another cat,
you know what?
That's in the neighborhood.
Well, again, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what we're trying to do on an individual basis will hopefully be a ripple effect in every community. It's going to take a process. It is not something that's going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. We hear stories about that all the time in the Capital District area. But we each do our little part, and I think that's what you're doing. And do your little part as you can. Thank you so much for calling.
Let's go to Nancy in Belchertown. Nancy, you're up.
Hi, just a quick suggestion for the lady who needed to get her cat more activity.
Sure.
My parents had a cat and they couldn't keep up with him, and he was getting a little aggressive with biting and scratching and being mischievous. And I happened to find a toy in Target, and it's quite ridiculous looking. It's just like a collapsed little tent, and it's made out of a mesh, and there's a mouse inside. And this collapsed little tent has some openings in it, and the cat reaches in to play with a mouse that's in there, pulls it out, plays with the mouse, shoves it back in, and has spent many, many, many hours doing
this.
That's great. Yeah, terrific.
But my sister found the same thing with her cat, and I haven't been successful with other toys, but this one, you know, was really a winner, and you don't have to keep, you know, yourself active with the cat. That's it.
That's great.
Thanks, Nancy. That's a great call.
Thank you.
One more in here. Mike in Albany, you have about 45
yes.
seconds.
Okay. I have a shorter hair male, 4 years, who has FIV, and the problem seemed to be behavior. It's stressed out. It seems that when it's on the owner's lap, if you spray an aerosol can or any noise at all, it accidentally scratches the owner. What can I do?
Oh, boy. Okay, great.
That's a tough one. I guess, as with cats and how they react to things, is trying to avoid those known places that you're going to get this cat stressed, for sure.
Well, you have to use, you have to spray every now and again, right? You have to spray a can of something. So that's not a practical solution. How? What do you do?
Well, I guess, dear, it maybe it's been bit by a raccoon and other wild animals sprayed it in the past. You know, it made that hissing sound. We don't know, but it's other sounds. And sometimes it can come too close to it. It loves its owner. It's a one-person cat. It won't let me pick it up. It will let the owner pick it up. Oh. But there's sometimes he gets scratched.
Okay.
Maybe not having the cat on the owner's lap at that point.
That's
when
a great.
You know
that's
that
a great idea.
Going to do those, you know, scary sprayings.
Well, that's fantastic. And then we'll have to leave it there, Doctor. What is your website?
My website is justcatsvet.com.
Justcatsvet.com, and that's in Guilderland, New York. Dr. Susan Ciculli, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Ray. This was fun.
Support comes from Washington County Tourism, announcing Maple Weekends this Saturday and Sunday throughout Washington County. Tours, demos, pancakes at morewashingtonnycounty.com. Foresight Land Services, for over 45 years offering civil engineering, land surveying, planning and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York, foresightland.com, and Equimotion, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, working to improve communication and performance between horses and their riders, equine massage clinics throughout the region, equimotionedu.com. That's it for the show. Thanks to everybody who called in from Alabama and New Hampshire and Vermont and New York. Good show today. Thanks to Dr. Susan Ciculli. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Calls answered by Colleen O'Connell. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's a return of the gardening show. Hopefully the weather will cooperate, but either way, we'll be here. Stay tuned now for a news update.